Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. I hope you're enjoying this conversation we had with soon-to-be U.S. Senator Brian Miller. I don't want to jinx him, but he's a leader. He's exactly what Wyoming needs. And I believe the Wyoming people will recognize that. It's just a matter of being able to differentiate between the field of managers from the leader. Now, one of the things I just want to emphasize is that, well, first off, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. It is critical that people start really looking at the importance of complying to the Constitution. If you have a public servant who is in compliance to the Constitution, they are doing everything to protect your liberty. If you start driving an issue with a public servant, whether it be abortion, whether it be health freedom, whether it be immigration, it does not matter. What you have done is you have basically distracted and you have detracted that particular politician or that public servant from doing what they need to do and ensure that the entire Constitution is being complied to. This is why it is so important to be succinct and to be very concise when you talk to your public servants. Are you enjoying the fact? I hate to think how many people, one, that aren't listening to this show, that really need to listen to this show, that have been devastated because of this just random act of tyranny that somebody decided to steal your constitutional rights. Because remember, we just read in Madison that your rights, you have property in your rights. They stole your rights. It's just like they stole your car. It's just like they stole your home or the most valuable things in your life, because liberty has to be one of your most valuable things, because it is the thing that allows you to express yourself, to be able to fulfill those things that you want to do, whether they be on a religious side or what have you. Well, anyway, we will try to wrap this up because it's going to be a short end on the back end as well. But when we come back, we're going to have part two. And this is where we're going to talk to Brian Miller or Mr. Miller regarding what he can do and how some leadership applications can be done. Anyway, we'll be right back after this promo. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, folks, we are back, as I promised, with Brian Miller. He is running for U.S. Senate out of Wyoming, and he's a breath of fresh air.
Here's somebody that understands the Constitution, understands their roles. And, you know, Brian, I know it is a very confusing world. What can we do? What are we going to do about this and so forth? And I hope you know that by getting involved in the U.S. Senate, you really, I don't want to say your hands are tied, but you can't really directly support other than when the final time comes. And if you understand Republic Review, there will come a point in time, if we're successful, where the states will actually come together and they will start sending basically resolutions demanding that the federal government disband all of these things. And you'll be integral in the U.S. Senate of saying, we better do this because they have the authority to do this. And you won't be recalled and you'll actually be able to keep your post, as you know. But it's the battleground is in the states. And I know you're looking to move on. And we were just talking about articles. And I wanted to kind of segue into the next article because I think you've read the rescission of the 17th Amendment article.
Yes.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's interesting. It was great to actually read through your article because for a very long time now, I have been talking about repealing the 17th Amendment and the need to do that. And the primary reason being that the 17th Amendment, all it did, all it was supposed to do, was change the way that we get our senators to the U.S. Senate instead of the legislators doing it, getting the public to vote and send them back there that way. What it ultimately ended up doing is turning our senators into super representatives.
Well, so there's an old saying, he who pays the piper calls the tune. And so the lobbyists come in, they get behind a very particular politician because they, that person's for sale. To be honest with you, the one thing that you were going to be combating that I don't think it's insurmountable is that the opponent that is the most viable will have the most amount of money. And, in other words, the lobbyists that are paying because they want that person to support their agenda to basically continue draining the wealth of America out to the globalists and to the world and continue their agenda. But I think the Wyomingians are going to see through that. And, it doesn't matter how many TV ads, especially when you actually start talking, and we'll get into some of these things in a little bit, but the real question that in the back of my mind, you do realize that rescinding the 17th Amendment would literally change your relationship with this from the people to the representatives. And so, in other words, there's a good likelihood that you may not be the U.S. Senator. In other words, you could become obsolete.
That is true. I will say that it's something I'm more than willing to risk. Because it's the proper role of the Senate is to be working with the states,
right?
Working with the legislatures and working with the governor to support the sovereignty of the states and to make sure that the federal government doesn't step beyond what we have allowed them to do with the Constitution under their enumerated roles that they have. That's it.
Right. And so to me, it would be tantamount to, biting the hand that fed you, because bottom line, you're restoring representation. You're restoring the suffrage, because that's what it talks about in the Constitution. Article 5, the very end of it, it says that no amendment shall be passed, or actually, I'm going to pull it up because I don't want to paraphrase this. Article 5 is, it's called an Amendment Protection Clause, and the Amendment Protection Clause is, there's two sides to it. The first one actually talks about, I'm trying to find my browser that's got this. Where's my browser? So the first part of the Amendment Protection Clause, there it is, I've got it right there. The first part of the Amendment Protection Clause
is this, you know, you can't pass an amendment that is going to take away the, help me out here, the 1808 slave trade shutdown. I'm not sure if you knew that. So actually, so I'll read it because I actually have it right here. And it said, this is the very last line, and this is called the Amendment Protection Clause. It says, provided, and so after it tells you how to pass an amendment, what makes an amendment ratified or official, and then it says, provided that no amendment which shall be made prior to the year 1808 shall in any manner affect the first and fourth clauses of the ninth section of the first article, semicolon. So there's one amendment that you can't pass prior to 1808, which is the basically the shutdown of the slave trade. They made sure that the South couldn't, you know, slowly move forward with an amendment to actually strike those things out of there. Right. And the other part, which is the part of the 17th Amendment, which nobody understood. The authors of the 17th Amendment did not know this line existed, these last few words. And it says, and that no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. Now, it's not just equal, it's suffrage.
Right.
In other words, the states have been deprived. The states themselves, as sovereigns, have been deprived of their suffrage. Now, there's a lot of people that have been hokey pokey word, you know, word use and so forth, and trying to, I'll just say, in trying to invoke, you know, the rationale behind the 17th Amendment. But I am here to tell you that the state legislatures will tell you that since the 17th Amendment is passed, is they have zero suffrage now in the Senate, which means
I would agree.
Which means that they can't vote. They have no voice in voting and how the Senate votes and how their senators are voting. And that's the whole intent of republicanism. I get into this and you're more than welcome to listen to me lecture, but that's not the intent. That's not the intent of this call. The American republicanism is a completely, so republicanism by definition is a representative government. The people have their representation, and in every country in the world, a representative government is a representation of the people. In America, Roger Sherman had the epiphany that he said, hey, well, if the people are sovereigns and the people delegate powers to their legislatures, and they called their legislatures sovereigns. And they said, if these men are sovereigns over the powers they've been delegated, then why shouldn't they have representation? And so in America, republicanism is the representation of sovereigns, not just representation of the people, because it does recognize that the people need representation as well as the sub-element of government. So the sub-element of government of the United States is the states, and the sub-element of government of the states is the counties. Yep. And so anyway, that's my you know, 100,000-foot layer on the, you know, the American republicanism lecture, and you can, you know, leave $5 at the door. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. The intent, though, is it takes a lot of cojones to, you know, to actually step up and say, I believe this is wrong and I want to champion this change. Now, one of the things that you could actually do is you could actually call upon the state legislatures to formally rescind. You could just say, hey, while you're serving in the U.S. Senate, you just call them up and say, hey, look, I need to be representing you, and you need to rescind the 17th Amendment, and I'm going to tell you how to do it. Would you do that?
I absolutely. Matter of fact, I have a couple of senators, and or state senators, and three, four, actually probably about 8 or 10 different representatives around the state who would be more than willing to go down that road.
And so I would love to see that. And I so folks, America has lacked for a long time this kind of leadership in, you know, in politics,
Because when one really looks at, you know, politicians today, they never really put, you know, their future on the line. They never do. They've always, as a matter of fact, they unconstitutionally pass laws all the time that they feel, you know, they oppress the people and then they make themselves immune from that. That is against the Constitution, and I need to write an article on that, too, because that was stipulated in Massachusetts, and I believe it was in North Carolina as well, but I know it was stipulated a couple of times, that Congress would not be able to pass any laws that would, you know, that they would oppress their people, that they would not feel the same oppression. And they've been getting away with violating that for, you know, over a century. But my point is that Congress has been very, you know, and our public paradigm has been self-serving. What's in it for me? It is a breath of fresh air to have somebody like yourself, Brian, standing up and saying, you know, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. We need to do this because this is the right thing to do. We have to restore the state's representation in the Senate. And that's absolute kudos. If the people of Wyoming do not recognize how important that is, that one issue is, then you know, there's no saving Wyoming. But I'm here to tell you that I honestly believe the majority of Wyoming, the Wyomingians and the majority of Wyoming believe that they need to restore the 17th Amendment. I think most people that are aware of this whole issue understands that.
You know, I believe you're right. It's something that I've talked about for the 6 years ago when I made my first bid for this office, and it was for the same reasons. We need to change the way the Senate acts. Along with the fact that they've turned into super representatives, they've given up or not performed a lot of the constitutional duties they're supposed to be doing. You know, one of the things that I really want to push when I get there as well is, why is the Senate drafting bills all the time dealing with money? That's all supposed to start in the House. There's no reason to write one in the Senate when they should be doing their constitutional duties of oversight. That's a much more important role. And look at the way things had gone with the FBI at the end of the last administration, and the IRS under the last administration as well. That oversight, that's what the Senate is all about. And you know, between that and being able to check the president, to be able to have a role in who is in the judiciary, those are the key roles of the senators. They shouldn't be writing bills that mirror the bills in the House. They just write the bills in the House, and then you modify them in the Senate and move them on. I don't understand why we waste so much time in the Senate. It's inefficient, and unless you're okay with the 17th Amendment making super representatives, it's a waste of time, money, and effort.
Right. So what I'd like to ask you is, because the fact is that you're willing to lead and you're willing to do that. It sounds to me, it doesn't sound to me. It's obvious that you have that leadership gene. And I think what is lacking and what we're doing in a couple of other states is, I've got candidates and or people who are in public service actually leading on calling out every public servant in the state. Now, we've got this going in South Dakota. We're working and getting this started in both Idaho and Montana. And I'd like to pose that to you. I think you have what it takes to actually just step up. Because, folks, when it comes time to lead, leading isn't, you know, taking a test, and leading isn't, you know, consulting a book. Leading is taking a stand. It, you know, it's that first step. It's, you know, something's wrong. You step in that direction where, you know, instead of running from fire, you go and engage the fire. That's what a leader does. And so, go ahead.
As I said, you could pretty much talk to anybody on the state central committee for the Republican Party probably over the last 6 years, and ask them my opinions when it comes to accountability and transparency. And you'll hear from I can't imagine a single one of them not saying this, that is and has been one of the major things that I've been looking to do, not only at the municipal level here in Sheridan and the city council, but at the county level and absolutely at the state level. I've been the lead when it comes to looking at governance review and feedback committee. I was the chair of that. I helped design the entire process.
Right, right.
The whole idea is to have that accountability and make sure that people are doing what they not only what they say they're going to do, but they're following the law, they're following the Constitution,
right?
And they're living up to their oath to support us.
I want to share this with the folks. I remember coming to Wyoming in November of 18. And this is when I met you. And actually, this was in Sheridan. This was in your county. And I remember you and Carl going through exactly what you were doing. And I was there to speak after the formal committee had finished to, you know, provide some, you know, comments and so forth. And I came in with the intent of trying to just, you know, expose the people there of the concept of leading and doing the right thing and demanding compliance of the Constitution and just trying to just expose that idea. When you guys sat down at that point, I made the decision while you guys were talking and before you even sat down. I made the decision that I didn't want to waste anybody's time. Wyoming was ripe. Everybody in that room understood accountability, transparency, and the importance of compliance. And so, you know, I just got up in front of everybody and winged it, basically saying, let me just kind of tell you what Republic Review is, because you guys are already ready for this. You guys are already fed up, and you don't want to take, you know, a lack of accountability. You're tired of people not complying. And so I think this room is ripe, and I believed it was, and I really, there's no doubt in my mind it was, because we ended up passing, because I remember seeing you, I believe, in May as well, that following year, and that's when you guys passed those resolutions for Republic Review.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. No, we've been ready for that. As a matter of fact, there's been a push to do the same thing here in Wyoming to start with.
Right.
Let's look at our own. Look at our own Constitution.
Right, right.
Because the same thing's happening at the state level as at the federal level. Probably not at the same, you know,
yeah, the magnitude of the fall is significantly different. And that's what I usually tell people when they say, you know, where the states are a problem, too. And I go, yeah, but if your state fails, it doesn't crush the world. It won't shift the balance of power in the world. If the federal government or if our general government fails us and they basically said, you know, we lose our Constitution, the power will tilt the whole world. That power shift will just have that kind of an impact. And we cannot afford that because the arms out there are not soft and tender and, you know, they won't supplicate and they won't, you know, nourish us back to health. They're going to crush us enslavement. And so anyway,
you know, go ahead. 6 years ago, I would tell folks that you look at the structure of the way they were set up, and you know, we talked about that earlier. You talked about the federal government, the state, and then the county, and then municipal. And I talk about errors that people make. If the Senate or the legislature or the president make a huge mistake, it costs us, you know, trillions now. That's the new number, trillions. If it happens at the state level, well, in Wyoming, it's even gotten to this point. It's a $1 billion problem. And at the county level, you're talking, you know, $100,000 level. And at the city level, maybe less than that at the municipal level. So that's kind of the magnitude that we're talking about when it comes to how vast the problem is at the federal level versus at the local level. At least at the local level, you can look the person straight in the eye. Although in Wyoming, you can kind of do that with the senators too. You can look the person straight in the eye and say, you know, I don't like what you're doing, and you're not going to get elected back in again.
So,
have that responsibility.
Okay, so excuse me. Let me get on to this concept of leading and taking a stand on the Constitution. I truly believe that every public servant has an obligation when the Constitution is being trampled upon. And as a matter of fact, in that article of nullification and imposition, and I know, you know, we really haven't discussed it, but I know you've read part of that. And I know that inside that article, I cite Madison, that state legislators are duty bound and obligated to stand up every time the Constitution gets trampled on. And so what has to happen, and what I'm hoping, is that you can lead and call upon, you know, Representative Clem and Representative Jennings and all the representatives and senators in the state legislature and say, I want you to call them out and say, I'd like to see your formal statement on what you think, you know, what is your position and what do you feel about, you know, our liberties being suspended by the governor and throughout the rest of the states and so forth. What is your position regarding the trampling of our civil rights?
Yeah. And I think you're going to, well, right now you're seeing that. You're seeing several of the state legislators out there doing that. There are folks like myself who are out asking those questions. But I think as this starts winding down and people really start looking back and seeing the harm that's been caused,
right?
Then the questions will really start, you know, flying. The critiques will really start happening.
And do you know Senator Tom James?
Absolutely.
And Senator Tom James is a great guy. I mean, he is a guy that wants government accountability and everything else. I truly believe that you could probably work with him. And I truly believe that you could, you know, between the two of you, you know, create a, because he kind of has a grade or like a report card on how every state legislature takes a vote. I think that you should reach out to him and say, I want a, you know, I'd like a full accounting and I'd like your help, you know, and if people are not willing to make a formal statement, then let them defend that in this coming election. But I think
it's funny you say that because we actually have that relationship, and we utilize the data that he collects, along with just straight up voting data, to look at the bills that are presented, and we look at them. Depends. This last round was with 26 different parameters, and a vast majority of those have to do with constitutional issues.
Right, but
not all of them.
Right.
Not
so,
of them.
So in this particular case, I think that we need to get a firebrand. I think we need to actually just start a brush fire and get people dancing. We need to get everybody to come out on the record. If they don't have at least a written statement, they need to at least come out and make a formal statement, you know, in a recording so that the people of Wyoming can hear from every single public servant who have taken an oath how they feel. Because I found it, and this is exactly what Madison said. And he says, the states who are parties thereto, what he means by the state legislatures, not just the ambiguous state, the state legislatures who were the parties thereto in ratifying the Constitution have the right and are duty bound to interpose for arresting the progress of evil and for maintaining within the respective limits the authorities, rights, and liberties appertaining to them. And so getting every single state legislature to actually take a stand, and then, you know, you can judge them on whether they've done it based on what Madison said. Are they saying we need to interpose? Or are they saying, I think this, you know, we have an emergency, we need to go ahead and suspend the Constitution and let them defend that in the upcoming election? I honestly believe that Wyoming would recognize that leadership in trying to hold everybody accountable, because to me, that would be a U.S. Senator leader, that would be a governor leader, that is a top level leader. And I there's no doubt in my mind. I know Tom James would help you with that. And I believe Clarence Stiver. I believe there's quite a few friends in the state legislature on both sides of the House that would probably stand up and go, yep, we need to take a stand on the Constitution. And you know what? If they don't recognize the temperament of the public at this point in time and how upset they are, violations, then I think it's called karmuppance, right? They've got a thing coming to them.
Yeah, they'll be rather surprised come August or November.
So what I'd like to do, because I'm giving you this idea, and this is something we're doing, like I said, and we're getting it started in Montana and Idaho, and it's kind of late for them because their election has already come before the stay-at-home orders were coming out. And so it's kind of a little late for people to say, you know what, I'm mad as heck about this, and I'm not happy with my representative. I'm going to replace him. And so timing is everything. But with Wyoming, you guys have time. You guys have time to air the dirty laundry and let everybody defend their position. Let them make a position first and then let them defend it.
Well, you know, that's actually one of the hallmarks. When people ask me, why are you a part of this accountability thing? Why is it so important to you all? And I tell them it's very simple. Any elected who's out there, all they have to do to get reelected, I won't say all they have to do, but almost all they have to do is be able to support and defend the choices that they've made, the votes that they made, the decisions they made. That's it. They've already got everything else in place. They've already got funding in place. They've already got the people who are supporting them around the state, or in the county or the city or whatever. You've already got that all out there. It's the new structure in order to even compete. So all they have to do is defend themselves. And I think that is it's very doable. And I think it's something I might even address with the state party as well.
Right. So this is where I'm trying to work at the ground level. And just so you know, I would include sheriffs because sheriffs have a constitutional role in the enforcement of government. And as a matter of fact, sheriffs are supposed to be the honcho of the county militia when necessary. In other words, because if you read what I put out there in that article, what is the real problem? And if I didn't include it, I need to go back and add this because it's right in the ratification debates, where they talk about if the local authority, if the sheriff is unable to, I want to clarify something real quick. It is not a constitutional right to go out and protest, to go out and actually stop commerce by standing in the streets and stopping the flow of people trying to get to work, carrying their products or what have you, or standing in front of stores and shutting businesses down. It is not an individual right to be able to do that. Those people have constitutional rights that are protected to be able to conduct commerce. And you do not have the authority or the right to take away anybody else's rights. And so if a sheriff, because this is, Madison called it a riot. If people were not happy with the laws and they posed a riot or an insurrection, which is what's going on with NAFTA or Antifa and all these other things. And the sheriffs and the police are, we're here to defend their constitutional right. And I go, are you kidding me? There's no constitutional right for doing that. And I go, where did this happen? Anyway, so that's how perverted things have gotten. But we're trying to find a few counties with sheriffs that really believe and support the Constitution and getting them to call for a citizen's grand jury. And appointing a citizen's grand jury not to go after a politician, but to determine the constitutionality of the orders that have been given by Governor Gordon and everybody else that has been supporting that. Is it constitutional? Because if it's not, then they have violated their oath of office by not supporting the Constitution. And so I'll just peel this back really quick for you because I don't want to take up too much more. Go ahead.
No, I see where you're going. So go ahead.
Yeah. So in Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, if you do something that does not support the Constitution directly
or you support somebody who's violating the Constitution, then you've committed moral perjury as somebody who has sworn a legal oath. That's a legal act. When you take that oath of office, it is a registered legal act. And so if you violate that legal act, then you've committed moral perjury. And what happens based on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which has never been enforced, what happens is a person is no longer qualified to hold that public office. Doesn't mean they go to jail. It's not like they committed a crime. This isn't a criminal proceeding. It's determining whether somebody has lost their qualification because of their failure to fulfill their oath of office. Interesting, huh?
It is interesting. I can think of another couple places in the Wyoming Constitution where there's the same type of not that in particular, but there are certain things that will result in legislators losing their ability to run for any public office ever again.
Right, and good, but this is very clear. If you violate, and as a matter of fact, if you support rebellion against the Constitution and taking away people's constitutionally protected privileges and immunities by being able to peacefully assemble, by going to church or going to a movie or what have you, or even their religious expression, you have violated your oath of office by supporting, you know, literally rebellion against the Constitution. Now, there's all sorts of ways that you can look at this, that, you know, we can find people, because almost everybody's completely illiterate regarding the Constitution. And so what I'm proposing, though, is not just that the sheriffs do this, but they educate the grand jury, and that the grand jury goes in, because I know for a fact that these people will be indicted. These people, what will end up happening is they'll determine that it is a violation of the Constitution. I mean, when you read that martial law in the 21st century, I pointed out there's nothing in the Constitution that allows you to do that without the militia. If you ain't got the militia, you can't do this. And so what will end up happening is all these people are going to be guilty. So the guidance that we want to put into the sheriff's arms is giving everybody a first and final. And that's what we call it. It's an HR kind of term. It's a first warning and final notice. In other words, okay, you violated the Constitution. You may not have been aware of it, so we're going to let you have this opportunity. However, you've taken an oath to support it, and you better understand what that means, because if you violate your oath of office again, you will be disqualified, and you'll be out of office and never be able to hold office ever again.
That's, I like it.
Because it, and go ahead.
I like it. And that's a, you know, and it was only 11, 12 years ago that Wyoming actually changed their oath of office. It was, I think it was 162 words or 161 words, something like that. And they kicked it down to 62 or 61, something in that range. But they literally talk about, you know, they're going to discharge your duties of the office with fidelity. It talks about supporting, obeying, and defending the Constitution of the U.S. and the state of Wyoming.
Right, right.
So it's very explicit.
Right. And too many people do not understand the legal ramifications of being a public servant.
Here's a question for you.
Go ahead.
You, when you were in the Marine Corps, you swore an oath.
Yep.
And were you debriefed and unsworn when you left?
Oh, no.
Me neither.
Right. Well, so here's the thing. Let me ask you this. Every person that becomes a U.S. citizen has to take an oath.
Yep.
That oath states that you will support and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. Just like the military oath, practically.
That's right.
And so why is it that citizens, natural citizens, people that are born here, how come they don't have to take an oath?
That's a good question.
So,
because people just assumed that they would be, there to fight for it.
It's a birthright. This is the answer. It is a birthright or obligation. And as a matter of fact, are you familiar with the Tory Acts?
Yes.
And so very few people are familiar with the Tory Acts. I'm actually going to be getting into those on my radio show in probably the next few episodes. The Tory Acts is where the framers, because this happened in 1776, they passed the first Tory Act June 2nd, 1776, or not June, January 2nd. And what they basically stated was, if you support Britain, if you are a British loyalist, you have no standing to stay here. You will be deported. In other words, we've got a lot of people here that aren't willing to support the Constitution. There may be a necessity of, instead of deporting, because we have technology today. I believe that people that are willing to support the Constitution and protect not just your own rights, but everybody else's rights, because it's the communists out there that want to take away the rights of everybody. And that right there is complete rebellion against the Constitution. And I believe that those types of people should not be able to participate. They should, instead of deporting them, they can lose their voting privileges because they, want and they support the idea of throwing away the Constitution and basically enslaving the population.
That's it's an interesting guy. In Wyoming, we have this thing that they call crossover voting.
Yes.
And it's the same kind of concept. There's folks that we in the Republican Party, under state law, cannot keep somebody from running under the Republican banner who has never been a Republican until the day they walked in to file. And that's shocking to me that the state has that authority.
This is actually
to tell a private organization that we cannot.
So just so you know, they don't and they can't, and that law is illegal. And as a matter of fact, I need to send you some information I got from a guy by the name of Alan Levy out of Florida, because he's running it's called the Inclusive Initiative, and he's proving, and they're winning on this, as a matter of fact, but he's proving the fact that the Republican name is a trademark, it's controlled, and they have the right to set standards and qualifications and dictate who can wear that brand or not. It's almost like a company being able to say, we have a culture here, this is the decorum, and this is how we expect you to behave, and if you can't behave like this, then you can't be an employee. It's the same thing.
And that's something that we've been pushing for quite a while. And if folks talk about, it's purity of the party. No, that's not it at all. We want people to ride for the brand. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to agree 100%. But you need to at least ride for the brand a vast majority of the time. Over 50% would be a good start for a lot of folks.
I would say this, and this is where I was trying to go with Alan and as well as with, inserting bylaws that basically say, on the moral issues and the social issues, that's a conscience thing, and we have to protect and preserve the conscience of everybody, even public servants. However, you do not get a pass because of your conscience in violating the Constitution. In other words, if you're in public office and you've taken that oath, you have to comply 100% to the Constitution, not to the laws of the government, because there's way too many laws that are unconstitutional. So case in point, and I just use the abortion issue in context, that if all of a sudden you are elected as a senator and there's a bill that is going to spend money on abortion as well as all these other things, and you're receiving this money, whether it be from the federal government or what have you, and the federal government, because this is at a state level, and the federal government is saying, okay, this much money is going to Planned Parenthood, And you're receiving that bill to, you know, kind of parse that out to education and all that, to the federal dollars. And nine times out of 10, that money goes directly anyway. But if you were in a position where you had to do something that you knew was unconstitutional, like funneling that money or signing the bill to allow those things to happen, then you'd be violating your oath of office. And the Republican Party should be able to strip you from, you know, basically excommunicate you. And actually, they should be able to go after you for a violation of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, have that seat vacated, and then go through the process of replacing you with the PCOs of the legislative district and so forth. And you guys have that process as well to replace these people. That way we can actually keep the ranks clean. Because, you know, if you look at it, I mean, you got these platforms, and the platforms have all of these really, I'll call them personal issues. They're hot buttons. They're warm and fuzzies. You know, they make me feel good because it's got this moral code and these other things, when it really doesn't matter. Because when it comes to, let's just say homosexual marriage, the federal government's come along and said, hey, homosexual marriage is legal. Well, hold it. Now, I don't see anywhere in the enumerated powers that the federal government has any power or role or responsibility over marriage. So they're violating the Constitution. So therefore, that law is nullified and it is void. It has no force in the state of Wyoming. So when somebody comes along and says, hey, we've got to start, you know, allowing this because that's federal law, I go, no, it's a violation of the Constitution. And they pass a law in the state legislature. Every single Republican that actually voted on that should actually be in front of the Central Committee and basically say, you know what, I'm willing to violate the Constitution. Then the party should be able to turn right around and go to the state Secretary of State and say, these people need to be removed. They're no longer qualified because they have violated their oath of office. They've committed moral perjury, and we're now going to replace them with real Republicans. That would scare a lot of people, but that's how real, that's the reality of the oath of office.
I agree with you on that. It is the reality. And you know, that's a battle we've been fighting for as long as I've been back from the military in Wyoming.
Right. Yeah. Well, so we're out of time.
Okay.
I want to have you back on, but what I need to let you do is I've given you some ideas. I want you to go out and kick some butt, get some names, get some people to actually, you know, take formal positions and get this fire going in Wyoming so that I can see the smoke come around the world, because I'm on the West Coast. And so, well, yeah, there's that Wyoming fire. This is awesome. Anyway,
I will do the very best I can, and I've got a good team behind me who's trying to drum up local support as well throughout the state. And as soon as I can get folks involved, especially on helping with the financing of the campaign, we are going to start doing exactly what you said, starting that fire.
Right. And I just want you to know this, that this will probably the liberal newspapers in Wyoming will try to make bad PR for you. And the people of Wyoming will recognize that this is the best PR you could ever get. And you will recognize that, because this is exactly what the people of Wyoming are fed up with. The people, that politicians are willing to step on their liberties at the moment's notice and no more. And a leader will stand up and say, no more. And so anyway, if there's anything I can do, you know how to get a hold of me. I'm here to help, and I want to see you win. I'm in your corner, and I'm not from the government, and I'm here to help.
Here to help. Got it. I appreciate that.
You bet. Thank you so much. And folks, we will be right back to close out the show, and we will have some more surprises in our next episode. So goodbye, Mr. Miller, and God bless.
God bless you too.
Thank you. And we will be back right after this short promo. So please stay tuned, folks, and I'll just kind of do a recap. And I'll give you a dream list of who we would actually like also to come on to the show to talk about how they want to become champions for the Constitution. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so how and who can we have on? And how can we really kind of move things forward? But who can we have on? If you've got a rhino and you have a good constitutional challenger, the best advice you can give them is what I just said to Mr. Miller. Become the champion and call upon every state legislator, call upon every sheriff, everybody that takes an oath that actually has an integral part in supporting the Constitution. You may not be able to get everybody, water board, education, so forth, but you can get the principals, and you need to get at least the state legislatures and the sheriffs. And you need to have them actually get out in public and say, you know, I've sent off these emails. Here's the evidence of doing so. And, you know, these are the only people that have come back and taken a position. In other words, they don't want you to know where they really fall on this issue. If not, why wouldn't they come out with a, so let these people start defending themselves on why it's okay to steal your liberties. This is the election year, folks. Gloves come off. We need to be brutal. We need to beat up, and we need to actually make every single rhino and Democrat extinct because they are violating their oath of office. And we have the teeth within the Constitution to make this happen. So I don't have enough time to really dive into this, but what I do want to do is I want to get into, and we're going to have a conversation with John Durash coming up regarding the grand jury and what they're doing and what I believe needs to be done with the grand jury in all of these red states. There is no reason why the red states aren't taking direct action in the assault against the Constitution. We're literally living in a civil war, except this civil war is not a war fought with weapons. It is an ideological war where they are trying to implement collectivism and statism, and they're trying to discard and neutralize the Constitution. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.